From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. The Knickerbockers lose. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And within a half a week, I'm already annoyed by the play, or the lack thereof, by this basketball team. We got to discuss this stuff, man. Going back even to the New Orleans game, even in the win, I just felt that the Knicks were too lackadaisical to put them away like they should have on Saturday. And then going back to the game on Monday versus the Raptors, they really got out-hustled. See, there's one thing about the Knicks I expect all year is pretty much to out-compete teams, even in losses, to play with valiant effort. And Monday's game left a really, really bad taste in my mouth. As far as effort, the Raptors was just way more, where Thibodeau pretty much got outcoached, okay? That, and then I got to give you a little, I guess you could say, scenario how I looked at it, because I also was keeping tabs on the Spurs game, Spurs and Pacers on Monday, the same night the Knicks were playing the Raptors, and the Indiana Pacers handled the Spurs with ease. So I kind of looked at it like, well, damn, you know, we played like shit versus the Raptors, a dead crowd at home. I don't like this Knicks energy coming out the gate. I don't think we're going to beat Indiana. That wasn't even my thinking on Monday night after we lost to Toronto. And after I saw that the Pacers, they destroyed the Spurs. So fast forward to this game and bring on Av. Av, I got to talk with you, man. Fast forward to this game. This game was literally lost in that first few minutes. Miles Turner beat us right 11-0 run to start the game. The Knicks never necessarily recovered from that. And this is where I think where Dom has kind of hit home on today's NBA. We need a five that can score. And I actually was on this platform when I said, shit, we need to trade for either Miles Turner, if you know, he had pieces now, or Karl Anthony Towns for that exact reason alone. That exact reason alone is the reason why we lost this game tonight. That 11-0 run to start the game with Miles Turner hitting those threes and pretty much hitting threes all game long, where we do not have that at all at the five position. That was the difference in the game tonight, because the starters got off to a slow start. They never recovered. The bench can only but do so much but fight and claw. I'm actually annoyed more so with the starters right now than the bench. But Av, let's bring you on. Say hello. We'll bring on Dom after that. Av, say hello real quick, and we're going to lead off with you, man, because this shit has got me fucking annoyed in a half a week's time alone. I know it's a long season, but fuck all that. Av, say hello. We'll bring on Dom after that. Say, what's going on, man?
I'm going to say, not a hello. Jesus. Bring on Dom.
All right. Dominic, what's up, man? Say hello real quick. And then we'll get this conversation started, man. How you doing, man?
Good evening, Steven, and good evening, Ad. Hang in there, guys.
Good evening.
Come on.
All right. Av, you heard my start of this episode. We lost this game first couple of minutes in the game. We never recovered. It's been pretty much an even game since that 11-0 run to start the game. But I'm actually more annoyed by the lack of effort on defense, especially with the starters. And this is actually going back to the New Orleans game, in the game we won. I know we shouldn't be complaining about games we won, but you gotta get build and get things done right off the gate. What's your thoughts, Av? I'm going to go on mute. Or if you got any questions for me or Dom, feel free. Fire away, sir, man. I'm fucking annoyed at this shit.
Well, to wrap things, to start things up here, I'm very much annoyed as much as you are. And it is at the starting five. Fournier and Walker just, I don't know, maybe they started to believe a little bit too much of the hype, of their own hype. And, you know, they're just not recovering. They're not playing defense. Randall's getting off to a slow start, but he's hustling. He's doing the other little things, so you can't really knock Randall. if he's out rebounding his opponent, he's, you know, he's looking for passers, you know, for shooters every which way. Anytime he gets into a trap or a double team, the Knicks starting five is, it's just it has to either be believing its own hype from that, you know, from that high, from that double overtime win in opening night, all the way through. The Knicks needed, in the game against New Orleans, they needed to keep the gas on and just keep on doing it. It's like, if you're going to put away a team, put them away. You know, you don't just let the foot off the gas and start letting itch and crawler and becoming lax on defense, missing assignments, missing switches, not picking up the guys. It's like, so basically the Knicks defense is almost non-existent, you know, in that fourth quarter because of just, you know, rapid ball movement. If you keep the ball moving more, if the ball goes around more than once, then, you know, you can pretty much figure out the Knicks defense. Which is kind of sad to think about it. And then, of course, in the game against Toronto, I don't know. I have no words because that's a game we're supposed to win. We're supposed to beat the Raptors. They're not that good this year. And the Pacers, they won this game at tip-off. I think they even won the opening tip-off. I don't remember right now. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the Knicks starting five has to get on a good start offensively, and if you're missing the first shot, they have to get back on defense, because if you got young teams like the Pacers and the Raptors and the Pelicans, you're gonna be running, and you have to get back in time, and they're just not doing it. And this was something that I was concerned with, you know, pretty much all season, is that, you know, yeah, our points per game improved, you know, drastically with Fournier and Walker, but our defense has been lacking. And like you said, the bench can only do so much. I mean, Rose still had, you know, did his thing. Toppin did his thing. Quickly is kind of like, you know, on and off. You know, Burks was doing the little things. They're playing defense. They're playing hard. They're giving you energy, but they're also following the lead of the starting five. So, you know, yeah, RJ Barrett had a pretty good game. He started hitting, you know, he started getting, having his shots fall, and, you know, and whatnot. And he was playing, you know, pretty good defense. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, where's the rest of this Knicks starting five? And you, and I know you said this before. It's like, we need a starting five that can score. They do, and, you know, it was nice to see Nerlens Noel come back, but obviously he's also a big liability on offense. You know, because he doesn't really shoot. He doesn't look to shoot. If it's within 5 feet, he's good for a putback, you know, on a good day. But we need more from him. We need more from Mitchell Robinson. Taj Gibson is still, I believe is still out. And you know, we haven't seen him in over a week. So we need our starters to freaking get on point offensively and defensively. That's how you set the tone of the game. This is a game the Knicks should have had. They should have had the Toronto game. The Knicks should be sitting right now at, what, 8-1? Maybe undefeated? No. Right now we're sitting at 6-3, and we're scratching our heads as, where did that energy go? Where is that, you know, that tough-minded Knicks defense that we keep, you know, that we were, you know, harboring on all last year? It's like, almost not the, it's like not the same. And I understand that, you know, you gave up on defense so you can have more offense, but Fournier and Walker can defend when they want to. Why don't you? So it's like, you know, stick to your man and, you know, and stop having these lapses of judgment. And, you know, furthermore, the Knicks rebounding on the offensive glass is almost, I mean, it's because they're so reliant on that three, it is almost non-existent. And I don't like that. You know, this is supposed to be a tough-minded, you know, both sides of the floor kind of team. It's supposed to be, they're supposed to be one of the best teams in the East right now. And they're not showing you that. They're showing you that they're stumbling out of the gate. They can't figure it out. Once you get the veteran Rose in, you know, then things start to kind of settle down. Maybe, you know, Randall starts hitting his shots. Maybe, you know, Fournier can stop rushing threes and Walker can stop turning the ball over. But Jesus Christ, it's like this is getting – I mean, yeah, we're only 9 games in and we're now start scratching our heads as to what happened to the New York Knicks of opening night with that energy and that fire and that passion and that fight. I'm not seeing it right now. Now, given it's a long season, it's going to, you know, these kind of things do happen. But you, I'm like you, Steve. I kind of want to see, you know, some kind of a valiant effort almost each and every time. You're not going to get it all the time, but we're supposed to be trading wins and losses with teams that we should be, you know, steamrolling and gearing up for, you know, the elite teams of the NBA. Look, you know, the Milwaukees and the Golden States and the Lakers of the world and teams like that. You know, we're not supposed to be, you know, stumbling on these trap teams. I mean, given you know, that's what they're trap games, but this is not a trap game. This is a pretty good defense who, you know, does everything fundamentally sound. And you had a Miles Turner who had a career night. What was it? 8 threes, you know, for his career. I mean, I know we used to talk about hashtag Knicks inflate, but this is like, you know, he's a good player. Exactly. He's a good player.
That was Knicks exposure. We got exposed because he can hit that shot. He can hit that shot. Mitch was not getting out on him tonight, Av. He can hit that. He's a professional player. You leave him wide open, he's going to knock it down. He can't hit that shot.
And it seriously looked like the Knicks kept on daring him to take it, and he just kept on making them. And it's just that energy on defense, most especially that energy on D is not existing in this current. You know, and I'm sure that Dom is going to run by the numbers, and he's going to show you what's going, you know, what's the big, you know, discrepancy there. But I'm not liking this, man. I'm really not. You know, this is supposed to be, you know, a good win, could bounce back win, you know, after getting embarrassed at home against Toronto. No, 2 in a row.
All right, cool. Dominic, give us your thoughts today. We got Mr. Live with us on Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. But Dom, what is going on, man? And then let's get to Mr. Live after that.
Let's try to get some perspective, guys. At 5-3, we're doing okay. The only game I can't accept during this spill was Toronto. When you say a trap game against the Pacers, let's keep in mind, guys, today was one of the first games the Pacers, who only had 2 wins. I think that's what we was looking at. They only had 2 wins. But today was one of the first games they had everybody on their team back. So they're not a 2-6 team, guys. Let's just get that part right there back in perspective. They're better than 2-6 when they're healthy. Let's just remember that. They are a pretty good team, and you are right, Steve. It ain't like Miles Turner woke up today and said, I'm going to start shooting threes. Because he don't shoot 20 of them, don't mean he can't hit them. Hence the reason I was saying a while ago when they was thinking about rebuilding and blowing up, I would have traded Mitchell Robinson, Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, Scott Perry, James Dolan to get Miles Turner. But that being said, guys, again, with the perspective, today, I didn't go back too far. I went back about 5 games. Today is the first night that any team beat us, even the Rapture game. Today is the first time, guys, that somebody outshot us from the 3 and the field. The first time. Again, did we look at the Pacers' record and say, this is an easy win? No. I think that's where we got a little confused tonight. They're a pretty good team, guys. You look at them, they're well-balanced. They're well-coached. They got a good rotation. They got a hell of a rookie in that Duarte, however you say his name, that some people overlook. But, hey, you know what? He may be rookie of the year. Let's keep it real. That Cunningham kid, I've watched some of his games. He's got fear in his eyes. This kid, Duarte, is going to be a good player. He's already starting, guys. So, again, don't look at the record. They're a good team. But let's get, again, the perspective, guys. This is the first time I went back quite some game. And up until tonight, no team, even the Raptors, fellas, did not outshoot us. But that being said, I do have concerns with our defense. And this is what we was going to get, guys. Let's just be honest. When we brought in Kemba Walker and Fournier, we knew we were going to be lacking some defense. The Knicks was a great team, defensive team. But we had guys like Reggie Bullock who could come in, you know, play some pretty hard-nosed defense. We sacrificed that for some offense. Now that the offense is going a little south, we're saying, where's the defense? Well, this is a give-and-take league. You got to give and you got to take. And let me tell you something, guys. I love Kemba Walker, and I'm not saying he's the worst defensive player in the league. But none of them can match up with Brogdon tonight. He's too big, guys. He basically had his way. And that's what happened. And the other thing that's alarming me with the Knicks, if Julius Randle don't lead the team in assists, who we badmouth every other day because of some of his chaotic moves, which I will definitely sign on, but he's always leading the Knicks in assists. Where's our point guard? The Derrick Roses. I love Derrick Rose. I love Kemba Walker. It did quickly come back down to earth. You look at the numbers, guys. You know I'm a numbers guy. It seems like every night Randall's leading us in assists. And he didn't take the most shots tonight, but he still led us in assists. And he led us in rebounds. Yeah, the elephant in the room. Mitchell Robinson gives us zip, dippity, doo-dah-day on offense. Now, some will say, well, we brought in Fournier, Walker, we got Randall, we got RJ, but he's still the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room got exposed tonight. You said it, Steve. He didn't go out on Turner. Turner never got to check him. But let's just be honest, guys. When he's in a game, it's 4-on-5. You wouldn't see Turner run out to check Mitchell Robinson when he's at the top of the key because he's going to catch the ball, he's going to spin his body, and he's going to look for somebody to pass to. We're not the smartest people in the world. Everybody knows this now. So you're playing 4-on-5 basketball every time he's in the game. So that being said, guys, I look at it, it's a stumbling block. We should have won the game against Toronto, but it seems like even with the Cole Anthony's and then who I like that OG, triple OG. I think I told you guys a few years ago, I think he's better than Anobi. I mean, what's the other kid's name? Siakam. I always thought he was better than Siakam, and he had a career night against us like Cole Anthony had a career night against us. But, again, guys, we got to pump our brakes just a tad bit. I am like Knickerbocker, though. I am concerned about their defense. But, again, we sacrificed that defense to bring in Fournier and Walker. And, again, guys, we'll pass it on to live. Somebody check the numbers. I went back so many games. And this is the first night we got outshot. You know, we got to calm down on the turnovers, on the isolation ball. You notice when we were winning, the ball was moving. Now we went back to that everybody pounding, and then when we do pass the ball, it looks like everybody's in a paranoid mode and they don't want to shoot. So, again, it's early. We'll be fine, guys. We'll be fine. When the defense gets back in order, we'll do something. I will say this, though. Because of Mitchell Robinson's lack of offense and his new positionless NBA, it may be time to run this experiment a little longer with Obi and Randall on the court at the same time because we're already lacking in some defensive aspects of the game. And I'm not saying Obi can't play defense. He's a young kid. He's athletic. He at least gives you that 5-on-5 on offense. We're not getting that when Mitch is on the floor. We're not getting that when Noel is on the floor. So why not give it a shot? Toppin has definitely improved. I think quickly he needs to get back in the groove or something because I don't want everybody to think his first year was just, you know, because, again, guys, without getting winded, you've been in the league a year and a half now. People are on to you. They're on to that little fake and go and try to throw that little runner in the air. You know, they're running out on you at the three-point line. It's a different game now, Quick. You either adjust or you're going to fall off to the side of that bench. So Just let's just pump the brakes, guys. Let's get Mr. Live in here.
Mr. Dominic, man, I'm telling you, I'm slamming the foot on the brakes, rotors, cable belts tonight, man. I'm living, man. Live, you got to get on the microphone, brother, because, man, these last two games got me steaming, man. I don't care how early in the season, man. We got to talk. What's up, Live?
Right. Everything good, Steve. What's good, Dominic? Knickerbocker Ave, what's good? All right. All right, so Toronto had me hot, right? But after the day was done, I kind of got down, seen a couple of more games, couple of NBA games. And then I seen this one, and then they started talking, and I never heard this about this.
Can I ask you a question?
This.
We have got to break this down. Why did Toronto have you hot? We got to dig deep, man. Why?
Toronto had me hot because one, right? And I was going to put this second, but I got to put it first now because of the new information I got. One, because of the new officiate, right? It played into a young, faster team than us. The new officiate played into their hand. You understand what I'm saying? They were able to touch us. They were able to, you know what I'm saying, get up on us. And they were faster than us. You know what I'm saying? With Kemba and Fournier, who I'm going to talk about in a second. You know what I'm saying? Second, the reason why is because we fell in love with the three, right? And we stopped doing this basket thing. And here it is. You have a system now where, or rather, you have officiating that caters to both, and you've seen it. Now, if you looked at tonight, you've seen the harder Randle went to the basket, the better his efficiency was, right? RJ, saying the same thing, right? And this has been what was happening to RJ the last three games, all right? It's because of the officiating. Now it's more catered to his style of ball. Oh, you want to hit me? You want to drive, and you ain't going to, you know what I'm saying? You're going to give me all of this leeway and this, that, and the third? I can bully cats to the basket, cool, I'm good. You know, Toronto was just me my anger was me going, damn, that was a bad officiate. That was really bad officiate. But again, I saw the other thing, and then they started saying, okay, well, there's new mandates, there's new rules coming down where, you know, they not calling when the foul is on the offhand. Like if you're putting out the offhand and like the three cats that is affected most is Harden, Trey Young and Bradley Beal. Like their efficiency is way down because they're not getting them calls. You know, so I said, okay, cool, fine. Seen it today. They even talked about it a little bit today. I was like, okay, fine, okay, cool. My thing, you know what I'm saying? Again, my thing is we fell in love with the three. They was going down easy. It was going down smooth. And now it's becoming an identity. What, you know what I'm saying? What's happening right, you know what I'm saying? What I see happening right now is, again, when they don't hit, it's now you become a double liability as far as Kemba and Fournier is concerned. Okay, everybody was talking about, oh, Fournier used to kill us and everything. Yeah, he did, right? You know what I'm saying? But why can't he stick to these teams? It's because of these droughts we see now, right? You know what I'm saying? He's going to give you a little 10, he's going to give you a little 12, and he ain't going to give you no defense, which he did tonight. Couldn't hold a paper cup. You understand what I'm saying? Kemba is even worse right now. Like, I mean, and again, we talking about Brogdon, who's one of my favorite point guards. I love that guy. You know what I'm saying? On and off the court, that's my guy, right? You know what I'm saying? But he was molesting Kemba tonight. I mean, turning him off of his off shoulder like he was butter. Just like he was just pushing him out. He kept on doing, and Carlisle kept on running that damn play. That off the left or the right side curl. He kept on running that, and he kept on running, and he kept on running. And he was pushing Kemba out the way each and every, like, not one time did Kemba stop that play. You know what I'm saying? And I was watching for it, too. You know what I'm saying? So him and Fournier are going to be liabilities this year. You know what I'm saying? And if they don't compensate it with offense, we gonna feel it even worse. Because, again, you know what I'm saying, what we don't talk about with Alfred and Bullock is that they bought their defense every night. Right, they offense might not have been there. You know what I'm saying, and you know more so with Alfred than Bullock, right? But they bought that defense every night, and that defense gave us a chance to win every night. You know what I'm saying? Now with the offense being these cat specialty, if they don't hit the shot, Kimba's gonna be a crash dummy the whole season. And that's going to be his main contribution to taking him damn charge. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping that they could tighten that up, right? But I feel like, you know what I'm saying, the last couple of games that I saw the weakness, and that weakness is Kemba and Fournier on the high post not being able to hold nobody. So I don't want to come to that too early. I hate making these kind of analysis this early in the season. You know what I'm saying? It's early. But Kemba doesn't look like the same guy, you know. And then Thibodeau is going to be very reluctant in bringing in McBride for them Westerfalls. Now, again, do you give Quick more minutes? I don't know. Quick is not a point guard. You know what I'm saying? He's, you know what I'm saying? All of that, like you know, you know what I'm saying, was mentioned before. It was just like he's not. He fell back to earth with those 8-9 dimes in the preseason. I mean, in the summer league, where that at? I'm not seeing it now, and his shot ain't dropping. So it's like, yo, what's happening? You know? And I don't think it's a fluke. I don't think that man worked too hard for what he do. His shot going to come back. He'll be who he is right there. But who he is not a point guard. And again, with me being so fascinated or so infatuated with Brogdon's game, because I wanted Brogdon a minute ago, man, like a minute ago, pause. Like, he's the guy we need. He's the kind of guy we need. Just really stable, you know, first and second step, really smart, you know what I'm saying, cerebral play and stuff like that, running that point, real solid. We still don't have that. So, you know, again, though, I'm not going to panic. It's still early. You know, nothing I say is definitive. So, let's go, man. Let's get it.
Man, you hit on pretty much all my points. But let me double down on your points, mm-hmm. Live. Matter of fact, a lot of my points go across Dom's and Av's. I'm not panicking. I'm just annoyed because I'm so excited for this season.
Mm-hmm.
This roster is so diverse that we should be beating these teams based off what we could throw at the other team. For instance, tonight, like, this is where Dom is right. This is where – I think the last two games is on Thibodeau, honestly. Let me just keep it real, man, because this is the type of game you may need to experiment Toppin and Randall in the lineup because you know who Miles Turner is. See, this is why I'm very big on watching all the NBA games. And this is where Dom promotes the lead pass outs to you, Dom. Because, like I said, when the Raptors were outworking us, first of all, that's the issue I'm having with the Knicks. I don't mind losing the teams, but the Knicks got outworked on Monday. That should not happen under a typical season. Nick Nurse had no Siakam, and he had we talked about that Knicks inflate hashtag years ago. We could bring it back this year. Why not? I like Anunoby, but that was an inflate game from Anunoby, man. I like Anunoby, but he had kind of a Kawhi Leonard type night. That should not be happening. All right, that's coaching, man. You should have been on that from the jump. They just outworked the Knicks. I was furious after that game. But this is why I'm big on the NBA League Pass, and you got to watch all the games. Because, I saw the Spurs-Pacers game on Monday. The Pacers put it on the Spurs. And the Spurs, we talk about coaching. I mean, they don't have a lot of talent, but they're well coached under Popovich. And they put it on the Spurs. And I looked at that game, and I looked at the way we played on Monday. I said, man, we're not beating the Pacers. And then this is exactly what happened. So it really comes down to just the first couple of minutes of a game, you did not even adjust at the start to get on a guy you know who could shoot threes. Don knows he shoots threes. Ad knows he shoots threes. Mr. Live knows Miles Turner shoots some threes. You even heard me say in this offseason that, yo, we should trade for him or Carl Anthony Towns. We will be unstoppable. We got a five that can shoot the three. It's over. This shit is over if we had that. But we got two guys who I like, but they do the same exact thing. Like Av said, their defense, interior is fantastic, but that's about it. And a couple of lobs here and there, that's it. Because if it's certain teams you match up against, and tonight was one of them, you don't get out on that guy, he's going to make those shots. It's amazing that they dared him to shoot, like Av said. Like, get on his ass, motherfucker. That's when I'm looking at this shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm so irate, because we as fans can see this shit coming a mile away, and how is the great head coach you are did not adjust to that shit. Av, I'm about to blow a gasket, dude, just thinking about this shit. Now, about the three-point shooting, Av.
Take a sip of water or something, Av, dude. Take a sip of water.
Hey, Av, I'm with you live. See, here's the thing about the three-point shooting. The three-point shooting has been actually all right outside of tonight's game. Even in the loss versus the Raptors, he shot 42%, and then in New Orleans, almost 60%. But the problem you said, live, I think, is the biggest problem of all, is at the point of attack on defense. Because once Brogdon shouldn't be turning the corner on Kemba Walker. He shouldn't. He's bigger, but yo, Kemba was never necessarily Michael Cooper on defense either. But that's like Dom said, and Dom is absolutely right. We traded defense for offense, and sometimes you have to make up for the lack of defense for Fournier and Kemba Walker. That's just what it's going to be, because once these guys are get turning the corner, like Dude Lewis on Saturday for the Pelicans, he was just beating Rose, beating Walker all night, turning the corner. Like, who the fuck is this dude? And then and as far as Van Vliet and Anunoby, once they turn the corner, we meet. So they're going to have to adjust that with the point of attack on defense. Like you said, live, you know, when Peyton was there, he did compete on defense. He couldn't shoot it worth the lick, but that's what was the trade-off, offense for defense. And if Kemba can't – and I like Kemba. He can't play defense. And we got exposed with a bigger guard still turning the corner on him. Go ahead and fire away, man.
I wouldn't say that he doesn't – that he can't play defense. He just – that's not part of his game. That's just not who – I mean, he can because, you know, there are momentary glimpses where he can do it and, you know, and be pretty effective. I just think that it's just not part of his game. He's, you know, he's here to do a job, and his job is to distribute the ball and, you know, and put points on the board. And that's kind of like the mentality that him and Fournier are doing. That's what they're known for. That's what they were brought for, and that's what it is. But I think the biggest thing that aside from everything that's already been touched, is momentum. The Knicks don't know how to capitalize on the forward momentum that they had already. In every game that we pretty much have won, and it was a graphic that was discussed early on in the game, and in just about almost every game, it's a running trend. Knicks end up having, you know, some kind of a double digit lead, and then all of a sudden, boom, they lose it, and they don't lose it just. They don't even lose it like that quickly. They lose it systematically just because they're not riding on the forward momentum and they're not capitalizing on the mismatches they had. Now, tonight's game, you know, it was probably a little bit more even keel than as advertised, because you have a lot of guys that are bigger than the Knicks starting five, and, you know, pretty much almost at every position. Not only that, they all have long arms and they can play defense. And it's like effortlessly. While the Knicks, they have to, you know, even in last year, they had to work a little bit more for their defense. But the work they did, you're not seeing that anymore. And it's nights like this that I actually miss Elfrid Payton. You know, he may not give you a lot, you know, offensively, but at least he'll move the ball. At least he knows how to get rid of it, and at least he'll take a shot here and there. But you know, Kemba Walker, I love Kemba Walker. I love the fact that he's here, and I love the, you know, the energy that, you know, that that all entails. But he's not giving it to me right now. Neither is Fournier. You know, and Quickly's getting lost. And so you add all that, and you're expecting, you know, 36-year-old Derrick Rose and Julius Randle to, you know, to pick up the slack. And then, you know, RJ's having the better, you know, these great nights, which, you know, that's the big positive out of the Wolves. He's having, you know, great offensive performances. But they're either in losses or near losses. And that's kind of tragic, considering that he's supposed to be your number two scorer. He was last year, and now that he's finally getting his groove, and Randall's leading us in rebounds and assists, where are the rest of the Knicks? They're supposed, you know, they're actually supposed to be complementary players, but they're all acting like, you know, the game rests on them, and that's why you're seeing Fournier, you know, jack up threes, you know, that don't even look comfortable to take. He's just like walking into them, but it still looks uncomfortable. You know, you're seeing Walker just, you know, not have any semblance of who he is or what he's supposed to do on both sides of the floor. You're seeing situations where there was at least one or two occasions where R.J. Barrett is now covering Miles Turner because of the switch, and you're expecting him, even though he's improved on his defense, you're expecting him to, you know, to take on this 7-foot big long dude who can take him on the dribble and he'll also shoot the three. So it's all kind of crazy to me that, yeah, you know, we're talking about it on the eighth, ninth game of the season that, you know, we're trading off, you know, offense for defense, but that's what Thibodeau is for. Thibodeau's a defense dude. That's all he has been. He, you know, when he was assistant, that's what he taught. When he was the head coach of Chicago, that's what they were. In Minnesota, he converted them into becoming a defensive-minded. When he came here last year, we became defensive-minded. All of a sudden, that defense is no longer is non-existent. They're still, you know, they're still getting turnovers. They're still, you know, they're increasing the amount of times they run, but it's becoming such a slow, stagnant kind of offense and defense. It's so stagnant and it's inconsistent that it's becoming a little hard to watch. I'm pumping my brakes. I'm not panicking. That's not what I'm doing. But I am raising a huge concern. This is something that I've seen throughout so far this whole season. You know, even though the season's young, is that where is the defense? I mean, we gave up 134 on opening night. We've given up over 100 almost every single game, I think, except for the exception of like one or two. And Dom can check me on that one. And, you know, we gave up over 115 today. So what's going on? I mean, I understand that we gave up Peyton and Bullock, and we're going to be lagging some kind of defense, but that much?
Well, here's the question for me to you, Ad, and then we can go to Don. Here's the question. Okay, we identify who is the liabilities on defense and the areas on the court where they're going to be liabilities. What are they going to do to adjust it? I look at this roster. We have pieces to make the adjustments for if it's a guy who's a five, that an opposing five who could shoot, or is a guy is a quick point guard. Like, what are they going to do to – see, the point I'm having is – once they get past Kimba, it's all hell after that. We can say poor defense, but it starts at the top. So what are they going to do
right. As
far as covering up for Kimba's defense, lack of defense at perimeter? I mean, this is nothing new to all of us. Now we're seeing it happen. And Kimba, honestly, was never necessarily a lockdown dude anyway. He was never that.
No, he was never lockdown, but he was at least a pest. He was at least a deterrent. He was at least I mean, come on. UConn in Charlotte, and also, he was never a lockdown. I'm not saying he's a lockdown defender.
No. I'm not saying you're saying he's a lockdown. All I'm saying is, Kemba was a quick, fat, quick athletic guy. But I don't think because you're quick and athletic doesn't necessarily mean he can play. He's Kobe Bryant. Like, he's determined to play defense. That's where I'm going with it when it comes.
No,
to Kemba.
No, that's absolutely
he
true.
Never had a
he's not determined.
He never had a tenacity to want to play defense. He just happened to be quick for his size, and looks like he's a pest because of his athleticism. But I don't think he ever in his career, whether it's at UConn, high school, to be that dude on defense. Nah, that's not Kemba. I don't think so.
No, I would never claim him to be, you know, a candidate for DPOY. But you know, I'm saying is that he can play one-on-one defense. He can, does he make it a personal point like RJ did, you know, against DeRozan against Chicago? No, you know, but.
Well, that's what I mean.
He can at least.
That's what I'm talking.
Yeah,
about. That's a good comparison.
But
that's what I'm talking.
But if you look at the system that we currently ran, you know, with the players that we had last year, and I understand new team, new year, new playbook, new everything. But the reality is that this is something that should have been addressed in training camp, and all throughout these practices is because the Knicks have a good, as Dom said it, team defense. So if you know that two of your guys, especially in your backcourt, are, you know, not necessarily the most polished defensive players as they are, then that's when Thibodeau needs to, you know, incorporate some other tactics, maybe start limiting Kemba's minutes and, you know, increase Rose a little bit and give more minutes to Quickly, so that way you can give him a spell since he's a liability. And, you know, when the Knicks start a run, or maybe have Kemba play the second unit more and have Rose play with the first unit more. Maybe that's something that needs to be happening. I mean, shit, you already have Derrick Rose closing out games anyway. Why not just start it, you know, do it from the jump since Kemba is such a liability? And then you can only use Fournier as a shooter. Those are just ideas. Of course, I'm not the head coach. But I think anybody on this line, anybody listening – would understand and play enough organized basketball or just watching street ball. Now, this is just like fundamental basketball. If you have a liability somewhere, the team is supposed to kind of like back you up or try to like rotate you out or, you know, do something to kind of make up for your deficiency. So that way you're all a well-equipped unit. And this is where, I guess, where all of you are all saying this, Thibodeau is getting out coached and he's getting out manned.
For these two games, I say. Dominic, what's your thoughts, man, on this, man? You had great points about that Randall and Toppin experiment. I kind of want to see that. And they've kind of done that this season. But is it me, Dom, except for the Chicago game, even though they lost that early lead, to me, the starters aren't putting – they're not blowing cats out of the water. Like, I think they could in half of these games. They're just mediocre. To me, the bench is really the difference of why we're winning the games as far as separation. Because I think our bench is better than most of the benches we play, and that's the separation in the score. But what is your thoughts or an additional thoughts since you spoke?
That's a good point, Steve. But, again, we're talking 8 games in. So – is that going to carry over? You have your starting unit for a reason, because they're your starters. They're supposed to set the table. They're supposed to. Yes, it's great to have a great bench, and they proved it in some of the wins, but in some of the losses, they didn't. If we're going to keep it honest, let's keep it honest. Just like what you were saying to F. Let's keep it honest, guys. I mean, we're all grown men. Kemba Walker in defense is like 7-Up and caffeine. Never had it, never will. Let's just be honest. He was always undersized. He was always underweighted. He was always under everything against the point guards in today's NBA. Let's just keep it real. I mean, he was a great offensive player. He's a decent, awesome offensive player now. But when y'all talk about this point guard and this defense, unless we're going to throw the kids into the fire and say, okay, let's see what you got, which – trust me, guys, it's not a bad idea. They're NBA players. Put your big boy pants on and get on in there. Let's see what you got. Because the guards we have right now are not your greatest defensive players. Again, if we're going to be honest, let's be honest. And again, to Live's point about the free throw, the Knicks damn near outshot everybody in every game with free throw attempts. The problem is hitting them. They're not the greatest. They're not the greatest free throw percentage team. They're getting to the line. Even in the games they lost, Toronto tonight, they outshot them from the foul line. They had more foul shots. But here's what I'm starting to get nervous about, guys. And again, something that Live brought up, and I brought up earlier in the year. Fournier is a 15-and-a-half night guy. His career averaging 16.7 this year. So he's above his average. But if we was expecting him, which he can do on occasions, to score 20, 30, yes. But again, guys, that's why they have these statistics. I read them because I have nothing to do in all day to do it. But that being said, the average shows a guy's ceiling. Like if Steve averaged 15.5 points for 8 years, well, that's what we expect. But his defense was never there. But here's what's starting to worry me, guys. Julius Randle is averaging more assists than Kemba Walker and Derrick Rose combined. He's averaging 6.3. Both of them together is averaging 5.8. He's averaging more rebounds than Mitchell Robinson by 3. So we're back to the Randle points, assists, rebounds leading the team again. Is that sort of like a last year, here we go again type thing? We brought you guys in to spell him from doing that. And it worked good, guys, in the beginning when we were 5-1. Again, the ball was moving. The ball wasn't getting stuck. And through all of that, Julius Randle was still leading us in assists. When the wheels were on the cart tight, he was still leading us in assists, points, and rebounds. But the ball was moving. Now the ball seems to be getting stuck. That's the part that's scary to me, guys. If we're going to talk, you know, where we're at, where we're going, another alarming statistic, guys. Last year, the Knicks averaged 107, average giving up 104. They was a plus 3. This year, they're averaging 115, giving up 110, plus 5. So when we look at the balance, guys, the balance, believe it or not, by the numbers has gotten better for us. It's the consistency in those numbers that are alarming. I am not like most people. I said this before. We were in a position once before where we took moral wins out of moral losses. That don't happen no more, guys. I don't give a damn if the Knicks blew a 12-point lead with 6 seconds left in the game and won by one. They won the damn game. To me, that shows the biggest thing to me as a Knicks fan. It showed resilience. They didn't do the tail between the legs, fold the tent, and go under. No, they stuck in there, they hung in there, and they won the game. Too many people are taking negatives out of that. That's the part to me that throws me for a loop as a Knicks fan. Like, everybody forgot. It wasn't that long ago. We won 17 games twice. And we're forgetting all of that because, oh, my God, the Knicks were up by 12 and they barely hung on. You're using the word barely and hung on in the same sentence. So that's kind of an oxymoron to me. But again, guys, at 5-3, the way the numbers are shaking out, the only thing that's concerning to me is Walker at the D, Fournier at the D, and we're back to the Julius Randle, everything on him, points, rebounds, assists. We saw what it did to us last year. It got us the fourth seed. Then he was burnt. Why not? Again, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. We're not getting nothing. Again, Julius Randle is out-rebounding Mitchell Robinson. If Obi Toppin got more minutes, I'm not saying he's going to get us 7.1 rebounds a night, but he might get us 5, and he'll damn sure get us more points. It'll only get better. The kid's showing that he has definitely progressed from last year. So if we're putting our all-out eggs in a 7-rebound a night, a couple of block shots, an alley-oop here and there, okay, if you can live with that, that's fine. That is. If that's the horse you want to ride, then okay. I don't want to ride with that horse, guys. Again, I've said this for years. The NBA is an offensive-driven league. You're either on that bus, you miss the bus, and then you're going to be in the same position we was in last year. You're going to sit there and say, why couldn't we score more? Why didn't we shoot more? Why? No, it's an offensive-driven league, guys. It's been this way, come on now, for what, 7 years? The game is built on offense. You could be a hell of a defensive. Again, guys, the Knicks are only 3 points a night under what they were holding teams to last year in eight games. Keep in mind, we're using an eight-game ceiling here. And they're only 3 points ahead, but they're scoring 5 to 6 more points per night. Again, here goes the offensive-driven league. So, again, while we could throw Thibodeau under the bus for certain things, rightfully so, he's at least seeing that elephant in the room. That, okay, last year we held the team to 104, but we didn't score that many, too many games with Nick and Tuck. When we got in the playoffs, teams outscored us. Still held those teams under their average, but we weren't scoring. So this year, again, guys, this is something new. We're mixing a pretty good defensive team with adding some offense. So, again, I'm in the pump the brakes mode. The only game, guys, I'm upset with is Toronto. And I'll tell you what, Anunoby has improved every damn year. He's averaging as many points this year as Siakam averaged last year. About that for a second. We look at some of these players, because me and you, Steve, we get league pass, we watch the games. If you watch Toronto play, this kid has gotten better every year. Yeah, they won the championship, and he hit the big three to send the game into overtime. That was Anunoby. Wasn't Siakam. Wasn't Kawhi. It was Anunoby. So this kid has gotten better and better and better, and we need to catch on to that when we play these teams. Again, Steve, you hit the nail on the head when we started it. Miles Turner did not wake up this morning and say, I could hit a three. He's been doing this. But because he don't shoot 30 of them a night, we think he's not a three-point shooter. Okay, again, if that's the horse you want to die on, if that's the hill you want to die on, fine. And we died on it tonight. Again, a 7'1" guy that gives us nothing but a couple of blocks and an alley-oop and 7 rebounds. We expected him to check Miles Turner on the perimeter. Yeah, okay.
Not going to happen. All right. Not going to happen.
I'll let it go and give it to Mr. Live. That was an accident waiting to happen, fellas. We've seen Miles Turner long enough.
I got to say this, Don, yes. Before we go to Live, because we talked about this last week, about when we were heading into that matchup versus Chicago, and we were kind of down. Well, I didn't downplay Chicago. I'm not going to throw you guys under the bus because you kind of looked at, oh, well, they played Detroit twice, and they played Toronto. And look at what Chicago has done. Now, we beat Chicago last week, but look at, they beat Utah over the weekend. They gave Philly hell tonight. They went to Boston and gave it to them in the fourth quarter. I say all this to say is, like, yo, like, that Chicago win and how we won was impressive, especially had we had the early lead, started, gave up the lead. I think R.J. Barrett has been fantastic, man. I mean, defensively on DeRozan, offensively, especially what he did in New Orleans. I just had to say that because I don't want to downplay some of these teams, because I look at some of these matches and how they play against other teams, man. We earned that game versus Chicago, but then what happened after Chicago? Like, even New Orleans, we should have smoked them by 50. But go ahead, Mr. Lyle.
Let me say one thing, Steve. Since you brought that up. This is the thing that kills me about talking heads when it comes to the NBA. The Knicks will blow a lead and win the game, but will sugarcoat the Lakers blowing a 24-point lead, the Celtics blowing a 19-point lead, and that shit goes right under the rug. And they lost. They not only blew the lead, but they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you didn't give the Knicks a lot of credit when they beat Chicago, who was undefeated, but then Chicago beats Utah, who was undefeated, and now we got rainbows in the sky. All right. All right.
I was going to actually co-sign what you just said. Av and Live, that's actually Dom talking to the cats on SiriusXM NBA Radio about the Knicks. Like, he basically went to bat for the Knicks on that same point he just said. So this is to fill you guys in if you didn't know what was going on. Go ahead, Live. I'm sorry about that. I had a rant, man. I'm sorry, Live. Mr. Live?
Live, I think you're on mute.
Yeah, the damn show was on mute. Yep. Yo.
Happens,
yeah, yeah. It nah, happens. Nah, that damn show was on mute. Yeah,
I was waiting. Yeah, no. We ain't gonna have that again, man. That was crazy. That was L.I. I know, but I was out on y'all. But in any case, again, eloquence from Dom. You know, the pundits will downplay any and all positives coming from the Knicks, and talk about the rest of the NBA. Again, you know what I'm saying? Everybody had the headline, maybe for the last 2 days, about the last day or two of how improved the Chicago is. But yet, and still, here we go. We was first in the league when they said we was first in the East. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, not that anybody pays attention, anybody smart anyway pays attention to these numbers that early, but you're talking about an improved team, and you're not talking about the Knicks being on top of the East, you know what I'm saying, in the hardest division in the East. So, you know, that being said, man, it's you know, really, I have no, you know, Steve has said it before, you know, about problems with the shooting. I'm used to the Knicks being an inside-out team. But now, again, you know, with this emergence of this new officiating, I'm actually even more excited to see how the rest of the season plays out. Because again, now, do we call these last three games the emergence of RJ? Are we looking at All-Star RJ this season? You know, again, I'm not worrying about, you know, what's happening and what's not, or whatever the case may be. I just see that, you know, with the eye test, you see that there is a gaping hole, right? And a recognition, a gaping hole in the defense, and a recognition that we still don't have our point guard, right? You know, because even if it's early, you would see that Kimball was that guy. I can't see it, right? Even with him being on top of the NBA and 3-point percentage and things of that nature, he's not giving us those assists. Neither is Quickly, neither is Rose. So they're not making a lot of people around them better. They're giving us individual performances, but we still don't have that setup guy. And most of our team, like especially at that five, everybody there needs to be assisted with their offense, especially Mitch. Yeah, you understand? So, I'm looking for Thibodeau to shore it up, you know. And again, here we go. Maybe not so. I just need Toppin to get more minutes now, because all of us can see now that man is basically the fastest on the team. He is the most athletic on the team. He's the fastest on the team. And those shots he was making around the rim today, man, you know, just tells me it's like he needs more minutes. I don't know where you get him from. You got to get, you know what I'm saying, take away some of those Mitch minutes, you know. You know what I'm saying, let's do that. Let's get some more time for that brother on the floor, because now, and again, I'll be the first to admit mistaking him for trade bait. I'm like, I want to keep him, but you can't underplay him now. Now that you see he's here, you know what I'm saying, he's in the NBA, he done caught his legs, use him properly, you know, and let's get this hole we got in this defense kind of tightened up a little bit, man. You know what I'm saying? Again, I think, you know, somebody has said something about Kimba coming off the bench more and Rose starting. Let's keep the minutes the same. I don't know. I don't want to make too big of a deal of it now, but I thought I saw it the last four games. I didn't want to say nothing because Kimba was killing him, making all of them shots. But he's a matador. Okay, he's a matador with a little ass hat. I'm like, I need him to be better on defense, and I need him to stop taking them damn charges. You know, that's not something I want you to be known for. Not you, not him. Let somebody else do that. Other than that, man, I am still not infuriated, not like Steve. But you have me going, Steve. No, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm just not as mad as you. You know what I'm saying? But I can see why the fury is there, man. And I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you at all, B.
Because you know, I look at this roster, and this is the first time in probably 20 years we could match up with any team, however, whatever they throw out on the court, we have the personnel to go against that. We don't have to stick to the same rotation. Like Av said, or Dom said, Tobin and Randall, let's try it. Let's try the athletic, small NBA. You know, you have a stretch five who could bomb threes. You know, Mitch King ain't gonna go out there. You watch games. Like, you know, this shit is coming. Change that shit.
Yeah. Well, you needed somebody. You had needed somebody to hold his brother Turner today, man, because Turner, he was looking out like Reggie Miller out there today, man. I was like, and again, you know, we not surprised that he can hit a three, right? You know, and then, you know, if you really want to be, you know, stingy with your praise for the Pacers, you can go, okay, they won because of that production, you know, because that early, you know, 6, 9, 8 points that they got from him, like early, just really just the first three shots was just instant. We can even say that. We can give that win to that kind of, oh, they jumped out and then we never kind of recovered.
Right.
Still, we know that man can shoot those shots, you know, and we know somebody, like, even when you saw him made a concerted effort to get out there on him, it was almost like he forgot his assignment and then went back to that, you know, guarding the bucket, which is his job. But, you know, again, man, this is a new NBA. He's camping. He's out there, you know, so. You know, let's see, man. Let's get it. We'll be okay.
Right. That's exactly what I saw live. I mean, this game could be summarized. This particular game, after that 11-0 round, the game was pretty much even. Like as far as score points between them and us, it was pretty much even. We lost the game off that 11-0 run. Never made up for it. Every time we got close, they pulled away. That's just how it is. Like, we never overcame that first run based off Miles Turner hot start because he was wide open. And you lost the game right there in the first quarter. That's how I look at it. I mean, these are some fucking great points. Av, before we go, final thoughts. I mean, not final thoughts from you, but any additional thoughts from you. I mean, you saw Noel return. I mean, he kind of, you know, it's going to take some, you know, game shape to get in the groove. And, I mean, he's kind of, we know he's going to be exactly kind of like a Mitchell Robinson as far as defending in the interior. But anything else you want to add on? Oh, somebody missing quickly. That's another thing. They brought that up in the broadcast as well. I mean, I think that's clear, too. I hope this is not a sophomore slump. I mean, as much as he was doing in the summer league and it seemed like he was kind of doing his thing in the preseason, I think he's just struggling. I talk about quickly. I think he's just pretty much not making a shot. Good shots, just not going down. Av, anything else you'd like to add? And then after that, we'll go final thoughts.
No, actually, you know what? I was talking a little bit about quickly because his shot, you know, it doesn't even seem like he's looking for a shot. And then when he does, he doesn't even look that comfortable in it. It seems like it's rushed. It seems like, you know, it's like he's still working out nerves. And yeah, you're right. You know, these things end up working themselves out, you know, throughout the course of the season. And no, I'm not jumping off the bandwagon or anything. I'm not freaking going off the deep end or I'm not furious yet. I'm a little perturbed, but I'm not there yet. I'm just kind of, I'm just waiting for these Knicks to regroup because, I mean, I'm looking ahead at our schedule. And, yeah, besides this Buck game that we have, which is kind of like, which I have it, I'm looking at it, and it's like, please, you know, I mean, yeah, don't let the record fool, like you guys were saying earlier, don't let the record fool you. They're 4-4, but they're still the fucking NBA champions. And it's still the same team. It's still the same freaking kind of tenacity and the same kind of, you know, matchup that we're, you know, that we dealt with last year. And, you know, we have to come out and play. And, you know, and it but you know what's actually kind of interesting is that it'll actually kind of bother me a little bit. They do show up and they, you know, they play four quarters, 48 minutes of, you know, hard-nosed defense and are in that game, competing in that game. Yeah, I'll be happy. But it'll start to really kind of like add to the perturbedness, because this is what, I mean, you know, this is something that was talked about Thibodeau all, you know, all year long, every time that, you know, you hear a broadcast, you know, every time during the preseason, you know, he plays every game to win. So where were you tonight? Where were you against Toronto? Mm. You know, where
right.
were you,
right.
you know, against Orlando when they came to the Garden? You know, if that's the approach that you're going to go with, by all means, God be with you, and I'll be happy for it, and I'll cheer you on. But if you're not going to do that, if you're just going to BS me and only going to get up for the, you know, for the big marquee games and just overlook opponents like you did with Toronto, like you did tonight, and you're only looking at Friday night's game against Milwaukee, something's wrong there. You know, because the season is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's been said on this platform. It's been said on every single platform that anybody ever listens to. You know, we have to treat every game, you know, with the same amount of attention and effort and dedication and perseverance. And, you know, if we're just going to continue to, you know, to get up for the big games and lose these, you know, these other games here and there, you know, and lose in a manner where you opened it up with this, Steve, lack of effort, lack of energy, lack of anything. This is going to be a long season, and we're going to, and I'm afraid that we'll probably end up having a lot more nights like this where you and I and Dom and Live are just going to be like scratching our heads, going over the numbers, going over the matchups, and still trying to figure out what's going on.
But, you know, Av, I want to go to Dom and get his final thoughts and Mr. Live, but let me throw this at you guys, two things. You said something about the schedule. We got four games. By the time we come back here in exactly a week, we're going to have a post game versus the Bucks. Now, the Bucks have been kind of – if you've been watching these games, the Bucks have not been on their you know, their championship mojo. Let's put it like that. They've kind of been up and down. I know Middleton's been out, all right? But this is the game I'm actually worried about within the next week. The Cleveland game, by all means, is – I'm telling you, that is a classic trap game. I'm going to tell you why. I've watched the Cleveland Cavaliers on the West Coast this earlier, like a week ago. They went to Denver and won. They went to Phoenix and gave Phoenix hell. They are a interesting – they went to – I think it was Golden State they went to as well. They've played decent basketball, and that's a classic trap game going to Philadelphia the very next night. I would not sleep on the Cleveland Cavaliers, man. They had a nice road trip out west. Oh, yeah, it was the Clippers. They went to Clippers and won, I think, as well. So do not sleep on Cleveland as far as if you think you're just going to show up and beat them because they're the Cavaliers, you're going to think again, man, we're going to lose that game Sunday at home. Because that trap game, we say, the next night we go to Philly. And then after that, you got Milwaukee again. Let's get final thoughts, man. And then here's another thing, man. Like, Thibodeau will never do this, Dom and Mr. Live. He will never do this. I don't think he would. Because if we're saying we need guys at the point of the attack on defense, you got McBride out there. He's a rookie, a young Elfrid Payton, fresh out the car lot, put a pit bull bulldog on the ball type of defender. He's not going to do it. I would love to see the coach send a message like that, like get that guy out there. Or a guy you loved on, Alec Burks. If it has to come to the point where we getting exposed like this, why not throw out him at the point where you saw him at the point a lot of last year? It doesn't matter if Julius Randle's going to get you the assist anyway. Might as well go big or go home. If you're not going to get the defense out of the point guards, if it gets out of hand too quick. But I don't think the coach has got that kind of cojones to do that. I'm just saying.
I'm actually kind of, I want to add a little bit to that. I want to add a little bit to that, but also why not add, you know, why not throw out a Jericho Sims? You know, why not, you know, I mean, we're talking so much about how, you know, with Robinson and Noel that you're playing 4-on-5, you know, he's another big body and, you know, he can develop, you know, beautifully, you know, under fire. That's another guy you can probably, I mean, yeah, he kind of does the same thing, but
hell,
at least he's young.
Shit.
And he kind
of. I'm comfortable with Taj Gibson. That's our fucking Udonis Haslam. I'm cool with him whenever he's out there.
He's our old head. He's our old head now.
He's our Udonis Haslam. I'm cool with that because I know he's going to play defense. And I know if they dare him to shoot, he can make it. But, yeah, I mean, we have options.
True.
That's the thing. We have options. Will the coach really show that move to use those options? I don't think he's as great as we promote him to be. I don't think he's going to do that. And these are answers. I'm looking at the answers on our roster. I'm sorry, Dom. Go ahead. Get your final thoughts, man. This has been an interesting dialogue with all of us, man. But, Dom, take your time. It's live. Take your time. After that, take your time, man.
Well, guys, I got to leave us with some positives. Don't be surprised if Thibodeau does it. You saw quickly last year, didn't you? Nobody ever thought that would happen. He may get to that point, guys, where this has to be tried at least. I don't think he's beyond that no more, guys. I think he kind of proved that last year with quickly. He'll at least give it a shot, I think. But here's the closing, guys, with the glass half full. As we stand right now, the Knicks are third overall in offense. In the NBA. I ain't talking Eastern Conference, fellas. I'm talking the NBA. Third overall in offense, fourth overall in field goal percentage, and second in three-point percentage. So when we try to get some positive out of every show, I try to leave y'all with a little positive, that's something we could hang our hats on. Yes, the defense, again, is only giving up 3 more points than they did last year. The offense is coming around, not just in points, but in every percentage you could imagine. So while we get nervous, I'm like Mr. Live. I'm not getting frantic. I understand your anxiety, Steve. I'm also smart enough, like I said last week. On this line, got on here and went batshit crazy. 6-1-17 games. I don't think we're at the batshit crazy right now. So for those that are listening, if you buy the bridge, step away from the bridge. It's going to be all right. Because if you didn't jump off the bridge when we won 17 games twice, just get your ass away from the bridge. Hang in there.
Just cross it.
It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I expect you New Yorkers to drive by the GWB or the Triborough or the Whitestone and check. Check for the hats. Make sure they're away from the bridge because it's a long season, guys. And we've gotten so much better. And the thing about Milwaukee, I ain't putting too many eggs in that basket. They're not only missing Middleton, they're missing Jrue Holiday. At least with Milwaukee, we could throw a Mitchell Robinson and Noel out there because they actually have a big guy, even though Lopez can step out and Robinson's going to have to chase his ass. But that being said, I will say this, Steve, them Cleveland Cavaliers, boy, are they upset in the apple cart because they went old school. They went Ralph Sampson, Hakeem Olajuwon type old school with all the bigs in the game at once. You guys want to play positionless basketball? Go right ahead. We're not. We're going to go with what we have, and you got to match up with us. And think about those games you talked about, Steve. Ain't none of those teams really have no bigs. Not two of them. Not on the same court at the same time. They have upset the apple cart. Are they going to be a playoff team? I don't know. But I tell you what, they're fun to watch. They are definitely fun to watch. Because even with those bigs, they still get out and run the court. This is probably, Steve, believe it or not, I'm glad you brought this up because I was going to say something. To me, being a Knicks fan with League Pass, I think they're the most fun team to watch right now because they're under the radar. They ain't going to go far playing all these bigs. But here they are, running and gunning, giving people hell. and it's fun to watch. Think about that, Steve. You're old enough. We're all old enough to remember Samson and Elijah one. And everybody was like, oh, the Twin Towers. Remember when the Knicks tried it and it backfired? And then the Rockets tried and everybody was like, oh. Guess what? Cleveland rewound the clock. And they said, you know what? like you guys just said, Thibodeau has other options. Will he use them? I'll tell you what, the coach on Cleveland said, hey, we got these options. We're gonna run with it. So God bless them, Steve. I'm glad you brought that up because they are definitely fun to watch. So the Knicks better be careful playing them. That being said, as always, Steve, I love you, man. I appreciate this. And thank you, fellas. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Dominic. Denardo DP, Mr. Live, your final thoughts, man. I'm kind of nervous. These four games coming up by the time we get back next week.
You know,
a little nervous.
While again, right. I'm looking at that Bucks game as a barometer game. I hate doing barometer games early too, but you know those are the champions. You know it'll be a great way to test where we at. We'll be at full strength. Yes, we'll be at full strength. All our roster, and it'll be a good game. You know, like you said, that Cavs game is going to be one of those traps. You know, where we might play down, especially if we win that game. You know, but again, here you go. We'll see another speedy point guard tandem, front court tandem, that Fournier and Kemba got a hold. So again, man, I love the fact that you brought up McBride and everything, man. But you know, your problem with that is because I would have put McBride in today, right? If I was coaching, right, Kemba would have got a hefty sign. But in saying that, the reason why you probably won't see McBride too much spelling Kemba and his adversity, right, is because Thibodeau is going to respect Kemba to a detriment, right? He's going to respect him as a veteran, as somebody who contributed to the league, and he's going to exhaust all of the resources that Kemba has to be a starter, right, or a main contributor or someone that gets major minutes over a McBride, you know. And McBride is going to have to really show McBride is just, and if I was McBride, which he should be doing anyway, I'd be killing Kimball in practice. I'd be leaving him in the dust each and every time. I wouldn't respect him at all. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but again, you know, that might not work too well. I mean, it ain't going to work immediately against Thibodeau because, again, Thibodeau is going to respect the veteran. Again, I'm still in my early mode. I don't like to predict and be solid on any one thing. What I am knowing, we ain't talking about it tonight, is how bad Randall been playing. Okay? We ain't said nothing about that tonight. I want to leave that alone until we get back. Right, but Randall is not playing well. Right, playing good, not playing well, and maybe I'm thinking and I'm hoping. Again, tonight he played strong. This is the strongest game I've seen him play towards the basket. So I'm hoping something clicked within him, and against this officiating that and especially against the bonus where. Okay, maybe I don't have to do all of this, you know, waving it in the air 3-4 times before I shoot it to get a call. Maybe I could just take it to the basket and let that contact speak for itself. So, again, Bleed Blue, love this platform, Steve. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you, Nick Baga, Av, Don, the whole crew. All right? Peace.
Mr. Live, yo, Mr. Live, you got any new music coming out, man? What's up, man? Oh, hold on. Before we you, Dom.
Oh, yeah.
You got any music?
Oh, yeah,
man?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Promote it.
Yeah, nah. I got some. I'm in the studio right now, working it out, trying to actually, Steve, you're gonna be one of the first brothers I give it to, man. You know, doing it for the old heads, doing it for the brothers and sisters that love lyrical music, man, who love orthodox hip hop. So yeah, we hopefully before the end of the year I can put something out.
All right, hey,
you know what, Steve,
Don, go ahead, Don.
Steve, before y'all go on, okay, Mr. Old Head, because some of us are old heads. I happen to come from the Bronx. What did you think of Big Daddy Kane and KRS-One?
Okay, wait, that's what we
post.
Doing? Okay,
I read your post live. I keep up with this shit, trust me, because I'm old.
My man, good looking, baby.
I come from where this shit started. Don't get it
good. Good looking. Appreciate that. Right, but you know, real quick, I think KRS-One won, but by the slightest of rabbit heads. You understand what I'm saying? You know, like Kane was immaculate through his whole show. He just ain't have enough heat. You know what I'm saying? And where KRS-One is the champion of the B-boy, champion of lyricism, champion of hip-hop, you know, and one of the grand pillars of it. Kane is kind of the pro-industry, you know, kind of poster boy for commercial hip-hop, right? So, you know, when you saw something come on like I Get the Job Done, right, which is a song I love, right, it was the wrong one to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a battle, it was the wrong one to play because, one, the streets ain't mess with it. Two, KRS-One ain't have nothing to compete with it. KRS-One has no joints for the ladies. You understand what I'm saying? So, and the crowd wasn't even that kind, even though it was chicks in there. Like, it didn't help Kane. So again, if you're talking about delivery and performance and lyricism, Kane won on all three of those stages. KRS-One, his shit just sounded better. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I noticed, though, live? Of course, I'm going to go for KRS-One because he's from the Boogie. But
okay. All right.
Big Daddy Kane was easier to understand. It
yes,
was
sir.
A lot of times
yes, sir.
where KRS-One was getting so hyped that you could barely hear what he was saying. Like, I ain't going to say he was getting winded. He's a professional.
Right.
But Big Daddy Kane had and again, he was always smoother. But at least when he was up there rapping, because you know rap, some of the shit you can't even understand nowadays. But
right,
at
exactly.
least you could hear what Big Daddy Kane was saying. Like, even though you knew the song, you could hear him saying the lyric. That's
yes.
the part I
yes.
read. I actually watched this stuff, especially them two, because they're old school. I don't want to kill Mr. Live, but I do read your shit, Live. But the thing I was going to say, Steve, before I go, you brought up Cleveland. They beat Portland. The Twin Towers. 35 points, 28 rebounds, 2 block shots.
Jesus Christ.
And two more fours that can shoot threes, too. More bigs that can shoot threes. So,
hey,
as Love marketing, and you got Allen in the paint.
Did the Cavs figure out that Garland could probably get more assists than Sexton, let Sexton score? I don't know. It seems to be working. Just me. But anyway, let Nick Bacchav get on. I'm sorry, guys. Thanks, Live.
Thank you, brother. You know what I'm saying? Y'all brothers be good, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. Shout out to Live. And Dom Av, take us home, man. And we're out, man.
How do you follow that? I mean, we all just got a hip-hop education right here on the Nick Bacchav Fan Forum. So that's just... I agree with both of them, and that's the thing, because I felt both those dudes, but you know, Kane is just he's just a smooth operator, while you know KRS is, you know, he's more of like a street poet and uses a lot of metaphors, and you know, it's just, but it's beautiful to freaking witness it, because that's what's missing in the world today. But on to the Knicks. Looking over the schedule, this, and Steve, you and I are I'm pretty sure you're looking at it as well. Besides the Bucks and the Cavs, we're playing the Sixers, we're playing the Bucks again. Then we've got the Hornets, we got a rematch with the Pacers, we just lost it tonight. A rematch with the Magic again, who we just lost to the other night. Then the Rockets, a rematch with the Bulls, the Lakers, the Suns, the Hawks, and Brooklyn. This is not an easy stretch by any figment of the imagination. So these kind of situations, even though, yeah, it's a new season, we're not jumping off the bus yet, we're not, you know, taking that plunge off of Brooklyn Bridge, but it's something that needs to be addressed. And I'm hoping that somebody on the Knicks coaching staff or the administration is listening to us right now and passing this on to the coaching staff and to Thibodeau. Something needs to be done, because you cannot think that you can rest your laurels on the way you've been playing, and you're going to be going up against these kind of class of opponents, even if it is early on in the season. Maybe the teams are not 100%. Maybe, you know, they're missing a guy, or, you know, there's a COVID thing or whatever the case may be. The reality is, now it's time for the Knicks to get tested, because these are the games that we really want to see the Knicks perform against, because they're all basically barometer games. I'm glad that Live mentioned it, because it's not just the Milwaukee Bucks, it's the rest of the damn schedule. And then, since we're talking about trap games, there's a possible trap in there somewhere too, because it's a team that we're supposed to beat. Considering their record, considering their roster, considering how we match up with them one-on-one, the Knicks need to take care of business. It's only up to them whether the starting five is going to figure that part out. And right now, I feel confident, but how many times have we walked into a week, Steve, where you and I walk into a week still and feel confident? We have some concerns, but we walk in confident, and then they come up with these kind of performances. And then we have to come back on this platform on Wednesday, you know, following a game, and we have to, you know, start talking about where everything went wrong. Hopefully we're not doing that. Hopefully next week we're on a much better tone.
Hey, Steve, I don't mean to cut you off, man, but I got something on my mind. Steve, can I be honest with you guys? Is Live still left?
No, Live left. We got to wrap it up, though. Go ahead. What's your thoughts, Don?
Okay. I want to tell y'all something, man. There was a while ago that I told y'all we had a show after my mother-in-law passed away.
Yes.
And I thank y'all for that. Unfortunately, we've had about 5 shows since my wife and I lost my son, our son, I should say, at the age of 38. And again, this is what I mean about brotherhood, guys, without getting emotional. Y'all on these Wednesday nights have gave me an opportunity. You'll never forget. Trust me, guys. I wish this on nobody. But you guys have been there, quietly as it's kept, because I'm a very private guy. I will never post shit like that on Facebook, none of that shit. But I just want y'all to know, for the last 7 weeks, fellas, y'all have been there for me. We laugh, we joke, we talk sports. When I walk away, it's a different story. But I just want to sincerely, guys, from the bottom of my heart, thank y'all for all the shit that y'all didn't even know y'all did for me. And I will be ever indebted to each and every one of y'all. Thank you guys so much.
Hey, I got to say this for you, Dom. First of all, I had no idea, bro. And wow.
Yeah, me
too. Much respect.
I'm stunned right now.
I had no idea, dude. Yeah, you do a curveball, dude. I had no idea. First of all, I am thankful for your amazing sports history post in our KGYR group. Thank you for that. I think you put a dynamic to what we do on the electronic level as far as educating, teaching, history. Kind of reminds a lot of things I kind of almost forgot myself that you go out and put out every day. I just want to say thank you for that because I don't think I have. I've probably said it every blue moon on a post, but yo, thank you for that, for doing that, teaching the people, the men and women in our circle in the KGYR, what you do pretty much morning in and morning out. And then as far as the son, your son, my condolences. I had no idea. I'm just, man. Now, whatever I was thinking about the Knicks tonight is totally shifted to, you know, that. And I'm grateful for your kind words and Godspeed and prayers to you and your family on that. I had no idea, man. If Av, you want to say
I
something.
I echo that same sentiment, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you're feeling. I can only imagine. And my prayers are with you and your family, brother. I was just about ready to say the same thing about someone else that, you know, that just recently lost. My senior drill instructor. Yeah, I kept up with him for the last 20-something years. He sadly passed away. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers are also with the Eirich family. But, yo, Dom, whenever, you know, we're here. I'm here for you. I'm here. If you ever need a cold shoulder, you know, or if you ever need just a shoulder to cry on, or just want to talk shit, you know, we're here. We're always going to be here. And, you know, we bleed blue because we all bleed blue. You know what I'm saying? I bleed blue because of you. Steve bleeds blue because of us. So, you know, my condolences sincerely. And thank you for always giving us that knowledge, giving us that analysis, giving us that passion, and giving us that dose of reality. Because sometimes I be do thinking about jumping off that ledge. He can tell you how many times he pulled me off that ledge. And when you bring on your energy and your knowledge and your savvy, man, there's no one who can touch you. So thank you
for making
us
better
sports fans.
You know what I want to say, Steve, before you go? You guys have been there quietly, trust me. But the one thing I learned from you guys and a couple of other people, there comes a time where you just want somebody to listen. That's it. You don't want to hear their ills. You don't want to hear their woes. You don't want to hear none of that. And again, guys, quietly as it's been, that's what y'all have done for me for 5 weeks. Y'all didn't notice, but we talked. We all listened to each other talk, and that's all I ever got. And that's exactly what I said at my son's homegoing, that there comes a time where you don't want to hear nothing else. You just want somebody to listen to you. And everybody in my path did that, except a few that almost pushed me over the ledge with actual violence, to be quite honest, guys, because I didn't want to hear that shit. Because I know nobody was going through what I was going through. I didn't expect them to do that. But you guys did it. Quietly as it kept. Steve, there were so many times that I was going to send you that message and tell you. And I said, no, that wouldn't be nice, you know. Again, I'm a very private individual. For me to even say this to y'all was, like, totally out of my realm. But I got to the point tonight listening to y'all that I said, you know what, these guys have been there for me. And if I could pass this on to y'all, that what y'all have done, that maybe you could pass it on to somebody else. That's how I always live my life, guys. Reach one, teach one. Teach one, reach one. It's embedded in me from my career, my life. And again, guys, y'all just don't know. And I don't want y'all to walk away somber. Please don't do that. Y'all have lifted me up for 5 weeks. Do not put your head in the sand. Just go to bed tonight and say, man, we actually helped this motherfucker. Because that's what y'all did, fellas. Trust me. And I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right now. I honestly, truly am forever indebted to each and every one of y'all. Believe me.
Fantastic,
I think
man.
We should wrap up, Steve, because we can't follow that.
We'll continue the conversation next week. We got a post game versus the Bucks. And let's hopefully Orange and Blue Skies is more positive over the next four games, including next Wednesday night on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We lose tonight, we'll bounce back. Just going to have to go on my rants. Every now and then I have these rants on all of our platforms. And this is why it's here for authentic fans like Av and Mr. Live, myself and Dominic, and all the other great sports fans all across the bar of the sports platforms as well. All right, man. Sound good. Oh! Might as well do it now, Av. You've done this before. We only got 2 minutes, and we're out because it's going to cut off. Who you got for the fight this week, Av? And Dom, if you're chiming in, if you want to watch the fight on Saturday, the big fight, the Canelo fight, who you got? Real quick.
I got Canelo, seventh round TKO.
Oh, okay. Okay. Dom, you watching the fight? And if you so, who you got?
I got Canelo. I just got to go with him because he's been there, done that. So I got him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm going to go 11 Av. I'm going to stick with Canelo. It should be it's not going to be Fury Wilder, but you know Canelo can't turn it on when it can. But don't sleep on Smith, man. Don't do that. Do not do that. All right, man. Let's talk about this on next Wednesday, and we'll see if we're right, man. Shout out to you, Dom, Mr. Live, Av, myself, Ralph. Sound graceful, ladies and gentlemen.
Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.